We welcome you to our sacrament meeting today. President Anderson will be presiding and has asked that I, David Holland, conduct today. We will begin by, well, actually, let me give you some announcements first. First off, we want to thank our ward choir for coming in today. They sounded wonderful as we prepare for our ward conference next week. For those of you that still want to be part of that, please come next week at 1 o'clock and you can join in. We accept door entries. So come on in and join the ward choir. Next week will be our ward conference. We have been asked by the stake president to be in our seats and preparing for sacrament meeting earlier than what some of you are used to. But preferably that you actually come here early and prepare for sacrament meeting. And then lastly, I want to make you aware that we have a ward temple night in preparation for our ward conference. Our ward temple night will be this Friday, and the announcement is in the bulletin. It will include, for families that need it, babysitting services provided by the ward. And we hope that all of you can join us in the Provo Temple at 6:30 in the chapel so that you can be part of that experience. We will begin by singing hymn number 6, Redeemer of Israel, after which Brother Murdoch will give the invocation.
Father in heaven, most gratefully we bow our heads this afternoon, giving thee thanks and recognition for the source of our many, many blessings. We're grateful for this beautiful day and for the privilege of attending this important meeting to have the opportunity to partake of the sacrament and to be instructed by those who have come to share their testimonies and thoughts with us. We're grateful for our bishopric, and we pray that thou will sustain them and strengthen them. May we follow their direction. We're grateful that we have a prophet who communicates with thee regularly. May we always follow his direction. May thy blessings be upon him and those who serve near him. We're thankful for the gospel, for the many blessings it gives us to grow and develop. We love thee, and we pray that thou will bless each one of us and those in our ward and neighborhood who are not with us today. Please bless those who have special needs. And these things we say humbly in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
By way of ward business, we have released the following individuals, and we propose that they be given a vote of thanks after I read their names. Brother Johnny White as ward mission leader, Britton and Aspen Hainsworth as nursery leaders. All those that can give them a vote of thanks and wish to express their appreciation may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. We have called the following individuals and we ask them to please stand. Jerry Perkins as ward mission leader. Aspen Hainsworth as primary chorister. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed by the same sign. Thank you. We have received the records of the following members, and we ask them to please stand as their names are read. Joshua Sharp. I should know how to say this name.
Kaya
Sharp, sorry. Sophia Sharp and Simeon Sharp. Those who wish to welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heatherhead 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. We are pleased to have the Dawson family in our ward, and nothing says welcome more than letting them speak in sacrament meeting. So today we will hear from Sister Dawson and Brother Dawson. After Sister Dawson, then Leisha Lisenby will provide a piano musical number for us.
This has been a lot easier in preparation for this talk. It's kind of a family little joke, I guess. But when Todd and I had been married for 5 or 6 years, I worked night shifts, and I still do. And I came home and went to sleep for a couple hours, and he woke me up, and he said, "Hey, Jen, I might have said that we would speak today in sacrament." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So woke up and got a talk ready, and probably half an hour or something. I said, well, what are we talking on? And he said, the Book of Mormon. I'm like, okay, I got this. That's okay. It's all right. So today, again, we're going to be talking about the Book of Mormon, and so hopefully I can do a good job. Just to introduce our families, my family, Todd and I have been married for 23 years, and we both served missions in England. That's where we became friends and then dated afterward. And then our oldest is Maddie. Oh, and we've lived in all parts of Utah and Nevada and Idaho, and we're now here. We're all over the place. We're kind of nomadic, or we were. And so Todd is a principal at Vista Heights Middle School, and I'm a nurse and I work nights. So, and then we've got five children. Our oldest child is 21, and she goes to Scenic View Academy. It's for kids with autism and learning disabilities. And then we have a 19-year-old Brett, and he's serving his mission in Ghana, West Africa. And then we have the three kids at home. So Carly is 16, and she's organized. She's very sweet. She's great with kids, and she wants to be an elementary school teacher. And then Ella, she's my little scientist. She's always asking, what if this? What if this? And some of them are pretty crazy, like alien stuff. And I mean, she just always is thinking. And she wants to do something medical. She likes girl stories and stuff like that. So, and she's 14, just turned 14. And then Tate, he's 11. And he's quick-witted. He's fun-loving, athletic. And I think he'll probably be in sales. The kid can sell anything. He takes things from home, from our pantry, and sells them at school. He comes home and he's got money, and I'm like, how'd you get that? And he sold his Gatorade, or he sold the bracelet he made, or he's just always selling things. So anyway, he's fun kids. So today I just wanted to share some things that have been on my mind. Let me find some of my notes. There it is. So I was thinking about the Book of Mormon, and I was thinking about the power of the Book of Mormon and what kind of influence it's had in my life. And I quickly thought of my father. So my father grew up in Chicago, and he moved to Denver. And he woke up one Sunday morning. He'd grown up Methodist, and he woke up one morning, and he just thought, I need to go to church. And he didn't really know where to go or what to do. He was new in town. And so he started to walk, and he heard singing. And he walked into a building where people were singing, and he didn't know what church it was, but he really wanted to be there. And they said, well, you have to have a book. There's a certain book in our church that you have to have. And he said, okay, where do I get this book? And they said, you need to go to the mission home. They'll give you a book. So my dad walked to the mission home, and the mission president and a couple of missionaries gave him a Book of Mormon. And they were very excited to meet with him, and so for the next 2 weeks, they met with my dad and taught him about the gospel. And he embraced it wholeheartedly, and he hadn't been a member, and he had been smoking and drinking, and all of those things were not an issue with him, and he wanted to become a member. And so he joined the church and never looked back. He's always been such a strength and a pillar to me of commitment, and I think that was part of the power of the Book of Mormon, as he learned about the gospel and as he learned about the Book of Mormon. And just wanted to read a few things. I love the quotes of the prophets. And Elder Holland said this. It says about concerning the Book of Mormon. This is in October 2006. He says, "This reminds us that when we're in the midst of darkness, This reminds us that when those mists of darkness enveloped the travelers in Lehi's vision of the Tree of Life, it enveloped all of its participants, the righteous as well as the unrighteous, the young along with the elderly, the new convert and the seasoned member alike. In this allegory, all face opposition and travail. Only the rod of iron, he declared is the word of God, can bring them safely through. We all need that rod. We all need the word. No one is safe without it. In its absence, anyone can fall away on forbidden paths and be lost." And I think how important is it to hang on to that rod? And they gave some wonderful talks for us to look up. And so I was reading these talks this week and thinking about these things. And I came across a blog, actually, that Elder Eyring gave in of this year in February. And he talks about how he's made the scriptures a priority for him. I guess he reads the scriptures morning and night, and he has to read it every day. He says, for 50 years, I've read the scriptures every single day, and he doesn't know what to do with himself if he hasn't read. And I thought, how wonderful that is to be so committed that that's just like brushing your teeth, like they shared a few weeks ago in the talks. Just, you know, it's a habit and something that you need to do. And anyway, so this is what really stuck out to me in President Eyring's blog, in his part. He said, "Through the Book of Mormon, the Lord has taught me about serving those around me, particularly my family. This book reveals the will of the Lord for family life in the way that no other scriptures even approach." He says, "I believe that it's largely because of the interesting structure. It's about families. It's about people's relationship. It starts with families and ends with families. And as I read the Book of Mormon, I have come to love those families." And I thought about that. I'd never thought of that, that the Book of Mormon is about families. And so I decided to flip through just the first book of Nephi. And I started to write down all of the things that it had to do with family relationships. And it just confirmed to me how really it is. It is about families. So I made a list, and the list is the things that it teaches. So the first one is what goodly parents do, that they teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children. Trust of a family to follow the father's counsel and to move and to leave all that they had. Struggles of sibling rivalry and the younger leading the older, setting an example. Struggles to be obedient to parents and doing hard things when they're asked to. A wife gaining a testimony of husband's calling and trusting her spouse. Children rebelling and fighting. The love of parents toward their children, counseling them to make good choices. Even for my son, even being hungry and grumpy when you don't have any food, you know, there's an experience in the Book of Mormon about that, struggling in your family. Struggling with the death of a parent. Forgiving siblings with their cruel behavior. And that's just in 1 Nephi. All of those different life experiences is experienced in the book of Nephi. And those are things that we all, I think, encounter in our families. And so I was amazed to just realize that the Book of Mormon will help us with all of our struggles and trials in our life and in our family life. And to give an example of this, we lived in Las Vegas for a year, and we had three children at the time, and I was pregnant with the fourth, so it was 7, 5, and 2. And we lived in an upstairs apartment, and you know how hard that is with young children, and they're stomping all over the place, and the neighbors below can hear you. And anyway, I was always stressed that the neighbors were annoyed by us, and the kids were running around and screaming and fighting before school, and I wasn't sure what to do, and so I remembered a verse in Mosiah. And so I pulled each child into my room, and I read them this scripture, and I'll just read it to you. And it says in Mosiah 4:14, it says that you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God or fight or quarrel with one with another and serve the devil who is the master of sin. And then it goes on to say, but that you will teach them to walk in ways of truth and soberness and teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And I said, will you please help me? I said it to each child. Will you please help me? I said, this is what I'm trying to do with our family. Will you please help me so that we can get along and that we can serve and love one another? And it maybe didn't make a difference to them at all, but I was so grateful that I had that scripture in my heart to turn to for advice and counsel, and was able to use that for our family. Other things... What time did I start? Do I have many more minutes, Todd? Am I taking his time? Okay, keep going. The other things that I've found, that even if you're reading the Book of Mormon and you're in the wars, and I'm not really sure what we're supposed to learn of those wars, but as I read them, sometimes if I have struggles in my life about things, that even when I'm reading the wars or whatever I'm reading the Book of Mormon, I can still be taught. Concerning those things that I have concerns about. And so just having my mind in the scriptures is when the Lord can reveal his will to us and help us. And A while ago, I was serving in a calling, and I was struggling with trying to make ministering assignments, Relief Society assignments, and not sure which sisters to put together and what to do and those kinds of things. And so I was reading in 3 Nephi. I was reading in 3 Nephi, and this is where the Savior is counseling his disciples, and I just came to love this verse. I told the kids, I said, when I'm tired, I cry, and I'm a little tired this morning, so I cry pretty easy. I embarrass them. Sorry. But this is about ministering, and in 3 Nephi 18, verse 30, it just talks about ministering unto those that we serve. And then in verse 32, it says that you will not cast them out of your synagogues and places of worship, for unto such shall ye continue to minister. And he says, for ye know not but when they will return and repent and come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I shall heal them, and that they shall be the means of bringing salvation unto them. And so in my assignment, I was trying to put certain people together, and there were those who weren't attending church, and I just felt really strongly about a couple connections. And in this verse, I just was reminded that as we minister to those who may not be able or wanting to come at this point, that we just never know when they're going to come back. And my husband's a good example of that. We had a friend down the street that hadn't been to church in 20 years or so, and he just decided to get to know him and become his friend, and shortly after that, he started to come back. And I love that verse. He says, you know not when they will come with full purpose of heart, and then I shall heal them. And so sometimes they don't need to be healed before they come back to church, but that as we love them back into the church, then they can be healed. They can find that peace and that feeling again. I just want to bear my testimony of my love for the Book of Mormon. I know of its power, not only in the life of my life, also in the lives of my family. I am so grateful for it, and I know that as we hang on to this rod of iron and as we study from it, that our lives will be blessed. And I just want to read a few more quotes from President Nelson. He said this, Each individual who prayerfully studies the Book of Mormon can also receive a testimony of its divinity. In addition to the book, they can receive help with personal problems in a very real way. He says, do you want to get rid of a bad habit? Do you want to increase your spiritual capacity? Read the Book of Mormon. It will bring you closer to the Lord and his power. He who fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he who helped the blind to see and the lame to walk, can bless you. He has promised that those who live by the precepts of this book shall receive the crown of eternal life. And then he also said, my brothers and sisters, I promise you that as you prayerfully study the Book of Mormon every day, that you will make better decisions every day. He says, I promise you that as you ponder what you study, the windows of heaven will open and you will receive answers to your questions and direction in your life. He says, I promise that as you daily immerse yourself in the Book of Mormon, you can be immunized from the evils of the day. And I thought, what a great blessing that we can receive this guidance and help with our decisions, everything in our lives, if we just read the Book of Mormon. Just want to bear my testimony of my love for the Savior. I'm grateful for him, for his example, and for the atonement and I'm grateful for this gospel. So very grateful for the things that it teaches us and how it helps us in our lives and lives of our family. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. I always love the opportunity to listen to my wife teach and give a talk. She's pretty amazing, and grateful for her. Grateful for my kids. We're grateful for this opportunity to live in this ward and get to know you all and get settled in. Many of you have reached out, and it's been a great few weeks getting us started off on the right foot. So appreciate that, and thank you for that. So as we have considered today's topic of scriptures and of holding fast to the iron rod, my wife is certainly a living testimony of the Book of Mormon. I often come home or wake up in the morning to find her reading her scriptures, and she just really does embody what it means to follow the Savior. So when we consider the iron rod, right, we think of that analogy or that vision that was given to Lehi first, and then in answer to prayer was also shown to Nephi. And in the experience that was shown to them and in that vision, obviously the tree, right, the tree of life that the iron rod led to and that the straight and narrow path led to was the goal. And at that tree was the love of God and was eternal life, which is the path that we're all seeking and that we want to achieve. But what was of extreme importance to those who successfully made it to that tree was their grasping and their clinging to the iron rod. And in the interpretation of that dream, Nephi was taught that the iron rod was the Word of God. And so as we contemplate and think about what is the Word of God, right, we think of scriptures, we think of the standard works, we think of words of living prophets. And then, of course, each of us, through the Holy Ghost, can receive the Word of God for us in our lives to guide us. And so a few years ago, Elder Christofferson gave a talk on the blessings of Scripture. And I won't read all of this, but he shares the story of a man named William Tyndale, who was born around the time that Columbus set sail for the Americas. So a long, long time ago. And William Tyndale was adamant in his pursuit to put a Bible into the hands of as many people as he could. He was well educated, he'd studied, he was a Catholic priest, he was fluent in 8 languages, and he wanted so badly for people to have access to the Bible. He wanted them to be able to read the Word of God for themselves. His pleas and his desire was met with great opposition. No way was that going to be endorsed or allowed or supported. And he went about doing it anyway. He left his home country of England. He lived in hiding in Germany, other parts of Europe, and secretly translated first the New Testament and then the Old Testament into the English language. Eventually, after being imprisoned, he was burned at the stake. And gave his life in that quest. Elder Christofferson said, "William Tyndale was not the first nor the last of those who in many countries and languages have sacrificed, even to the point of death, to bring the word of God out of obscurity. We owe them all a great debt of gratitude. We owe perhaps an even greater debt to those who faithfully recorded and preserved the word through the ages, often with painstaking labor and sacrifice. Moses, Isaiah, Abraham, John, Paul, Nephi, Mormon, Moroni, Joseph Smith, and many others. What did they know about the importance of scriptures that we also need to know? What did people in 16th century England who paid enormous sums and ran grave personal risks for access to a Bible, what did they understand that we should also understand?" Elder Christofferson taught that the scriptures enlarge our memory by helping us remember the Lord and our relationships to Him and the Father. He said, "The scriptures remind us of what we knew in our premortal life." You know, we were taught the Father's plan before we ever came to this earth. We loved our Savior. We accepted that plan. We fought on the side of our Savior. And Elder Christofferson tells us that the scriptures will remind us of what we already knew in the premortal life. He said, "The scriptures are the standard for distinguishing truth and error." That's a great thing about having the Word of God and having scriptures, is that they set that standard. They tell us what is true, what is not true. "The scriptures bring us to Christ, our Redeemer," he said. "Scriptures expound the doctrine of Christ. Scriptures are accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Scriptures are revelation, and they will bring added revelation." President Nelson recently said, "Something happens when a child of God seeks to know more about Him and about His beloved Son. Nowhere are those truths taught more clearly and powerfully than in the Book of Mormon." In the title page of the Book of Mormon, we learn a little bit about its purpose. "To the convincing of the Jew and the Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting Himself unto all nations." The Book of Mormon teaches clearly doctrine concerning Christ and Christ's atonement. There are a lot of scriptures that of those who were keeping the record, who wrote about why they kept the record and how they were commanded to do so and why they were commanded to do so. And as I was studying some of those scriptures in preparation for today, I came across these that have been some of my favorites in recent years. And these are found in the book of Omni, verses 25 and 26. "It came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believe in prophesying, and in revelations, and in the ministering of angels, and in the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting tongues, and in all things which are good. For there is nothing which is good save it comes from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of His salvation and the power of His redemption. Yea, come unto Him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto Him, and continue in fasting and praying and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved." Some beautiful invitation and beautiful promises. So as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, why do we have the Word of God? Why do we need the Word of God? And what should I do, and how should I go about clinging to the rod of iron in my life? So some of my thoughts on this topic, we have the Word of God because God loves us. I think first and foremost, That's why those records and the scriptures are in your hands and in my hands, is they are evidence of God's love for us. There are things that he wants us to know that are contained in the scriptures. There are things that he wants us to feel as we read the scriptures. There are things that he wants us to do and things that he doesn't want us to do that are revealed and taught in the scriptures. We have the word of God because of the efforts of prophets who have gone before, as I mentioned with Elder Christofferson, and other men and women across generations who have given their whole souls to bring the word of God to us. So why do we need the word of God? Well, as evidenced in Lehi's dream, we need the word of God to lead us to where we need to go. As my wife mentioned, the mists of darkness covered everybody in Lehi's dream. At one point, the mists of darkness had created a situation where people couldn't see where they were headed, and they wandered. And once they came out of the mist, they were in a different place than maybe they started, or maybe they never got out of the mist. But those who were clinging to the rod of iron passed through and made it to the tree. So we need the word of God to guide us along the path. We need the word of God to enable us to draw close to him, to learn of him, to grow. And we need the word of God so that we can have the Holy Ghost in our lives. President Hinckley said, "Those who have read the Book of Mormon prayerfully, be they rich or poor, learned or unlearned, have grown under its power. Without reservation, I promise you that if you will prayerfully read the Book of Mormon, regardless of how many times you have read it, there will come into your hearts the Spirit of the Lord. There will come a strengthened resolution to walk in obedience to his commandments, and there will come a stronger testimony of the living reality of the Son of God. I testify that the Word of God is true. I'm grateful for the Book of Mormon in my life. Years ago, as a freshman in college, I set off to school at Idaho State University. It's a great experience for me. I had about a year and a half before I turned 19 and could go on a mission. The Book of Mormon was an anchor for me in my life. There were a lot of mists of darkness that presented themselves, that by clinging to the rod of iron, was able to stay on the path. There were times when I was questioned or challenged about my beliefs, and there were a lot of things I didn't know about what people brought to my attention or claimed to know about the church or the temple or Joseph Smith or some of the challenges that are presented to you and I even today. And many times I would say, I don't know about that, but I know that the Book of Mormon is true. And if you'll allow me to, I'll just hang on to that for now. And what a strength and what a true principle of clinging to the rod of iron. I still do that to this day. If questions come or challenges face or life's challenges present themselves, the Book of Mormon is a safe place. I testify of its reality. I testify that it does bring us to our Savior and that it does bring the Holy Ghost to our lives. We're taught in the scriptures that the natural man is an enemy to God and has been and forever will be unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Reading the scriptures brings the Spirit to our lives, which then allows us to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and to put off the natural man. I testify of the divinity and the reality of our Savior and of his love for you and his love for me. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We'd like to thank the Dawsons for speaking with us today and teaching us. We'd like to thank Sister Lisenby for the beautiful musical number. And we'd also like to thank Brother Grapes and Sister Holland for providing the music for our ward. President Anderson will now address us, after which we will sing the first and third verses of hymn number 66, Reverse the Lord is King. And after that, we have asked Sister Christy Gilbert to give the closing prayer.
I know we're going to run over here just a minute, but first of all, please come to Ward Conference next week. I promise you that blessings will be yours because you attend, and particularly hear from Bishop Roberts and President Evans. I wanted to just shout hallelujah the whole time today. As you guys know, my feelings about the Book of Mormon, the Cross of Joseph. I don't know if you could see Sister Dawson's scriptures. It was the first thing that caught my eye here as she thumbed through these pages and very well-worn triple combination. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to try. I heard a little quote on my mission. I'm going to try to change it just a little bit. The intent will come through. Probably won't get it perfectly, but something to the effect of, I'm going to use different names here, but let's say Sister Lawson, not Dawson, but Sister Lawson, build a shelf for the family scriptures to rest themselves, lest a sticky finger or a grimy thumb might injure the delicate pages some. She cautioned her children to touch them not, and there they lay with never a blot, though the Lawson children were a troublesome lot. Her neighbor, Sister Dawson, build a shelf. Come, children, she said, and help yourself. Now, the Dawson scriptures were old and tattered and worn, with some of the most precious pages torn, where children had fingered and thumbed and read. But of the Dawson family, I've heard it said that each one carries the scriptures in their head. That was a message I got today, just from observing the scriptures of Sister Dawson. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that we paid careful attention to their words. I loved Brother Dawson's conclusion about the singular evidence of the restoration, the temporal foundation of the Book of Mormon, and how that primary question leads to the answers of all relevant questions, and in fact frames them in the day in which we live, which is a question day full of questions. I will conclude by sharing some of Elder Holland's words as I reflect and remember them regarding his statement to the Book of Mormon and its relevance and importance in our lives. As you recall, he said, this was about 10 years ago, so it would be now for 189 years, this book has been examined and attacked, denied and deconstructed, targeted and torn apart. Perhaps like no other book in modern religious history, perhaps like no other book in any religious history, and still it stands. Failed theories of its origins have been born, parroted, and died. From Ethan Smith to Solomon Spaulding, from deranged paranoid to cunning genius, frankly, none of the pathetic answers for this book has ever withstood examination, save only the answer given by Joseph, its young, unlearned translator. I join my witness with two fellow British missionaries. I served there too. And bear witness of the tangible evidence of the restoration. And I testify, brothers and sisters, that as we hold fast continually to the iron rod, that the light of faith within us will lead the path, guiding our way back to our heavenly home. And I bear witness of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we come before thee this afternoon and give thee thanks that we've been able to commune together as a body of saints. We rejoice in the messages that have been born today. We are grateful, Father, for the Book of Mormon and for the testimony of the Christ. We are grateful, Father, for the atonement and for the opportunity we've had to partake of the sacrament and reconnect ourselves with the atonement. We pray, Father, that we will receive thy spirit today and be armed with truth and light to face the challenges that await us in the coming week. We give thee thanks for a prophet. We give thee thanks for our leaders. and acknowledge, Father, thy hand in our lives and the blessings which thou hast given us. We thank thee, Father, for thy blessings, for thy tender mercies, and ask thee to strengthen us and to be with us this coming week, we pray, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.